Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. In this episode, we're talking about how Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the light of guidance. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. In this episode, we're talking about how Imam Hussein alayhi salam is Misbahul Huda, the light of guidance. In order to talk a little bit, we decided to invite Sheikh Rouhani. Inshallah, let's go ahead and invite him and start the talk show. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
Sheikh Rouhani, thank you so much for taking time out joining us. First and foremost, our congratulations on the birth anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Hazrat Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam and Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. We wanted to talk a little bit about Imam Hussein alayhi salam, how you know, in the traditions, we find that he's known as Misbahul Huda, this light of guidance. And to talk a little bit about it and a few points concerning this, we hand it over to you in the name of Allah.
Yes, it's a very nice question that about the light of Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is introduced as the light of guidance. Mm-hmm. So this light of guidance is not only limited, for example, to the time of the Holy Prophet or the time of the Abu Abdullah Hussein's life. Mm-hmm. Rather, he is the light of guidance for the whole, let's say, history of the mankind.
Yes.
So now the question, if you want to look at this, let's say, point, it's better to look at from a kind of modern perspective to this point.
Sure.
That for nowadays, in this modern world, in this world of technology, world of science, then how an imam who was martyred, for example, 1,400 years back, how can he be a light of guidance for nowadays generation, for the modern people?
Right. This is very interesting.
Yeah, this is very much important, that because our youth, our young generation may ask this kind of question. This kind of question may arise in their mind, so how Imam can be the light of guidance for us? While we are busy with technology, with internet, I don't know, with, let's say, studies, scientific kind of fields of things. Then how can Imam guide us?
Yes.
So there are lots of points that could be mentioned, but due to the lack of time, let me just mention this point that first of all, our brothers and sisters should know that in every era, or we can say for example, every time, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the history tried to turn a light for the guidance of the people. Yeah. Like what? For example, in the time of Prophet Nuh, Nuh was a light of guidance for many centuries, for many generations.
Yes.
Because there is always darkness in this world. And only by these divine lights the people will be guided into the right path.
Very beautiful.
And then after Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, it seems that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a very nice sentence from one of the thinkers. It is a Western thinker, I cannot remember his name. He says that it seems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala walked in the history. In every period of history, we see the footstep of the God, it seems, that did this way. If we make use of this example, we can say that, for example, in the first step of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the history was Prophet Nuh, for example.
Yes.
And then we have Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, that he was the light of guidance, though the people tried a lot to actually turn off this light. But Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved this light for the generations. And now Ibrahim is in the pick of three important religions.
Yes.
Judaism, Christianity, and Islam.
And Islam, yes.
But what happened to Nimruds and those kind of people? They went and they lost, forgotten, but the only one who remained like a light, like a sun in the history, is Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So it seems that there's always a kind of superpower, a kind of super will over all the other wills.
Yes.
Then look at the Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Fir'aun wanted to turn off this light of guidance. But what happened? Musa was brought up inside the house of Fir'aun by the wife
amazing.
Of Fir'aun. So this is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when it comes to the Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam, apparently it seems that the people like Yazid or Shamir or these kind of people, the evil, let's say, doers,
Bani Umayyah,
they tried their best to turn off this light of guidance for the history. But what remained in the history was Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. And nowadays, just look at the Arba'een every year. Millions of people from across the globe,
from Australia
to Africa, to Europe, to America, to Asia, from all across the world, that millions of people gather in a city named Karbala and walking towards this holy shrine of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn al-Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the day of Arba'een, you see millions of people. Now the question is that who is more living or alive as compared to Abu Abdullah? Who is able nowadays in this world to gather millions of people from across the globe nowadays? Who is able to do that? It is the biggest gathering, I think, in the whole world.
Yeah, it's the biggest public annual gathering.
Annual gathering. I think there's no any other gathering like this. Now the question is that now who is more alive than Abu Abdullah al-Husayn al-Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who can gather these numberless people.
And move these many people is the owner of the hearts and the souls of so many people, even after a thousand years have passed.
So now the holy shrine of Abu Abdullah is exactly like a light of guidance for the whole world. Because at least in the event of Ashura and Arba'een and Muharram, in this kind of events, every year, millions of people will be attracted towards Abu Abdullah al-Husayn al-Sallallahu Alaihi
Wasallam. And those things that he represents
values. And then they start a study about Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam. They want to know about Abu Abdullah al-Husayn al-Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every year, many non-Muslims convert to Islam because of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn al-Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because they come, they attend to this gathering, and they see the, let's say, extreme sort of love in the hearts of the people that they express to Abu Abdullah al-Husayn al-Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, out of their control. You know, this kind of love that the people have, they are something out of their control. So then this kind of love attract the people's attention toward Abu Abdullah. Abu Abdullah is the Imam. Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam is the light of guidance. Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam is the one who is appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Imam, you know. So that's why we see that even in one single day of Arba'een, millions of people are guided by Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam every year. So this is a very, we can say, apparent, very clear, evident that Abu Abdullah is the light of guidance, as the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And even in Ahadith, we have this very beautiful point that when Imam Asr wa huna fida ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif reappears in the holy city of Mecca, when he starts speaking to the people, he introduces himself by Imam Hussein. Saying that in Jaddi al-Hussein qataluhu atshana. Look, he introduces himself by Hussein.
Meaning,
even in that time also the people will be guided towards Imam al-Mahdi jalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif by Abu Abdullah.
By Abu Abdullah al-Husayn.
As nowadays people are guided towards the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Abu Abdullah al-Husayn sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is that the Prophet said that he is the light of guidance. You know, no one can turn off this light. He will, this light will be always shining. Just open your eyes and see, you'll find. As you see every year, all the people across the globe, they will be informed. They are informed of this event, because this is the biggest gathering.
You know, 20th of Arba'een.
Of course, and the 20th of Arba'een. So that's why I think even if we look from this one single perspective to Abu Abdullah al-Husayn al-Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his martyrdom, his role, his being light of guidance, we see that how much beautifully the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam introduced him as the light of guidance.
You know, Sheikh Rouhani, I know, being this idea of light of guidance and Misbahul Huda, which is one of the traditions, excuse me, from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This idea that Imam Hussein alayhi salam is still a source of guidance. What kind of values can we learn from Imam Hussein alayhi salam? that in the present day, you know, can help Muslims all across the world, but even non-Muslims who, you know, are living in the present day. I mean, we see so many hardships, you know, things from poverty to discrimination to racism to endless wars that are happening in all parts of the world, you know, hunger, homelessness. But some things, some values that we can learn from Imam Hussein alayhi salam as the light of guidance, you know, that can help both Muslims and non-Muslims.
You know, sometimes we think that being religious, being mu'min is very difficult. You know, sometimes people think like that.
Yes, a lot of times people think like that,
that it's really difficult to be a mu'min, to observe all those rulings in our life, to be a true believer. You know, it's really difficult, it's really hard. No one can tolerate such kind of things in their life. Mm. While when it comes to the real belief and the true faith and iman, the true faith and iman is only paying attention to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it.
Mm. You That's the core essence.
Just you try to consider Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever you do. Just try to feel that you are in the presence of your Lord. Mm. Just try to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is observing. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supporting, is providing, you know, with all the things that you are in need of.
Yes.
And He is fully aware, and He is absolutely knowledgeable, and He is absolutely powerful, you know. Then such a power, such a, let's say, infinite kind of source of knowledge, source of beauty, source of pleasures, source of power, source of wealth. Everything is in the hand of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a mu'min just rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by what? By always reminding himself of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By always considering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever they do. By always try to pay attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to notice the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is iman, that is faith. In that case, you will never get depressed, because you always think that there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He knows. He absolutely loves us. He absolutely cares about us. And He is absolutely looking after us. And He is absolutely powerful, that can provide us with whatever we need. Then why should we be worried about anything in our life, you know?
Yeah.
Because He is always with us, and He is always caring about us, and He is always looking after us, and He is always observing us. Then why should one be worried, you know? Because we come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we return back to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the way that we should live in this world.
Yeah.
So the lesson that we can take from Abu Abdullah al-Husayn al-Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is this. That look Abu Abdullah.
Well, I was just going to say this.
Abu Abdullah salam, when Yazid ordered the governor of Medina to go to Imam Hussein and take bay'ah from Imam Hussein. Because you see, in the reality, it was Imam Hussein who was the ruler.
Exactly.
Otherwise, Yazid should not beg the bay'ah, or the, let's say, paying allegiance from Imam Hussein to Yazid.
Right.
Yazid was in need of getting bay'ah.
Legitimacy and from Imam.
Because Yazid knew that it was Imam. Because there is another, a very beautiful theory that Yazid actually raised against Imam Hussein. You know, so sometimes people say that Imam Hussein raised against Yazid.
It's interesting.
But in reality, it was Imam Hussein.
If you look at the historical context of it, though we've kind of stumbled on it, the historical context, the peace treaty, or the sulh between Imam Hassan alayhi salam and Muawiyah, specifically one of the bund, or one of the terms, was that if Muawiyah died, the khilafah goes to Imam Hassan alayhi salam. If Imam Hassan alayhi salam is not alive, he's dead for whatever reason, then the khilafah goes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And Allahu Akbar, in addition to that, Muawiyah does not have the right to choose an inheritor.
Yeah, of course.
So based
course,
upon all this, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, zahiran, is
because Yazid was not legitimate, was not well qualified, you know, even in the side of Bani Umayyas.
Yeah.
And also, for example, Abdullah ibn Zubayr was not well qualified as compared to Abu Abdullah. Automatically, Abu Abdullah was the caliph, you know? Anyhow, so we will talk
in
about
the Bay'ah in Medina.
That's why. That's why he first went to Abu Abdullah al-Husayn al-Sallatu wasalam. When he asked bay'ah from Abu Abdullah al-Husayn al-Sallatu wasalam, what did Abu Abdullah do? Abu Abdullah did not fear Yazid, did not fear the governor of Medina, said that I will never pay allegiance to man like Yazid. What do you think about me?
Yeah.
And then he left Medina, not fearing, not paying allegiance, very bravely, courageously, said, very publicly said that I will never do bay'ah or pay allegiance to Yazid, and left Medina.
Yeah.
This is the man who is mu'min. This is the man who rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he came to Mecca, in the holy city of Mecca, he presented lots of speeches, very bravely, courageously against Yazid, publicly, not caring about anything.
Yeah.
You know? While Yazid was the ruler, while Abdullah ibn Zubayr was in Mecca, he was the ruler in Mecca. But he did not care about any of them.
He was doing what was right, what needed to be done.
Because the wilada of Al-Fadl al-Abbas is also there. There's a very beautiful khutbah, oration, narrated from Al-Fadl al-Abbas, which is narrated from Al-Fadl al-Abbas in Mecca. That's a very beautiful khutbah. A very beautiful khutbah that the brothers should refer to see that how beautifully Abul Fadl al-Abbas introduces Imam Hussein al-Sallatu wasalam to the people. Inshallah, friends will refer to that khutbah. Anyhow, look at Abu Abdullah in Mecca again. Then he left Mecca for actually Kufa, to the way to the from Medina to Mecca, from Mecca to the Kufa, and every steps that you see about Abu Abdullah, the only thing that Abu Abdullah thought about it was Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
Everything that he had among his children, including his children, his wealth, his property, his life, whatever, all of them belonged to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and finally he actually sacrificed all of those things for Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
So this is the iman.
Yeah,
this iman makes a person like iman. This. It's a kind of exceptional kind of figure, exceptional kind of hero in the history.
It's interesting, right, Sheikh Rouhani? For example, when you were talking earlier about how when we feel the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in our lives, and we know that He knows what we're going through, it brings us strength and courage, and you know, it gets rid of depression and these things. I had thought of one of the statements of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala, where he says that he addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I believe it's after the martyrdom of Adi Asghar, his 6-month-old infant, right?
Yes.
Where he says that Allah, knowing that you are witnessing and watching what is happening, it has brought me comfort or ease, or it makes it more bearable, this pain that I'm going through. So this idea that, yes, you learn from Imam Hussein alayhi salam that when Allah is watching and He is aware,
and He is with you.
And He is with you.
Yeah.
That,
and then why should you fear? Why should you be worried about? You know, what is the thing that can make you depressed while you are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you are in the presence of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then everything will be solved in a way that you even cannot imagine. Min haythu la yahtasib, it is mentioned in the Holy Quran. So that's why you see that in the life of Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wa salam, what we see is the presence of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the life of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wa salam. Not only in the day of Karbala, even before that. That is why he called upon many people in Mecca, in Medina, from Mecca to Kufa, many elites, many, let's say, Sahabas, many tribal leaders, let's say, influential figures at that time, called upon all of them. But so the darkness of this world is this, that even sometimes we become blind and we cannot see the light of guidance. Light of guidance is exactly in front of us, but we cannot see. عيون لا تروا. There, in the Quran is mentioned that sometimes you have عيون that you cannot see with them.
Yeah.
These are the eyes of those people that Abu Abdullah called upon them, invited them, but unfortunately they didn't listen. But later, when we say Abu Abdullah is light of guidance, even after his shahada, when Yazid's army attacked Medina and did those lots of wrong things in Medina that we cannot even mention. And then the people of Medina understood that Imam Hussein was right. But it was too late.
It was too late.
When the army of Yazid attacked Mecca, the holy city of Mecca, and they burned Masjid al-Haram. And then the people of Mecca understood that Hussein was right. Why didn't we listen to Abu Abdullah? You know, when the event of our Shura happened, then we have Tawabin after that. Look.
Yeah.
So it is true to say that Abu Abdullah was the light of guidance, but the people could not see. You know, this was the problem of the eyes that couldn't see the Abu Abdullah.
And
later they saw.
If we add to this, right, Sheikh, that these eyes that are blinded are usually because the heart becomes blinded,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And so some of the things that you had alluded to, you know, that how the heart becomes blinded, you know, one is this idea of worldliness and this attachment to wealth and property and sometimes life, right? I would rather live myself, you know, and in turn let the divine guide be sacrificed or be martyred. So this idea of this hubbu dunya is one of the things that blinds the heart.
Yes. So the important lesson, the very great lesson that we can take from Abu Abdullah's life is this, that we should be always living in a way that we are in the presence of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this kind of life will be full of blessings, full of bounties that would be showered upon us by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know?
It's interesting, Imam Khomeini, if I just very quickly add that, because, you know, Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi, he very beautifully says that, I believe he says that Jahan, Ya Alam, Mazhar-e Khuda, Mazhar, right? So that the world is in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, of course.
One of the lessons you were saying.
Yeah, he says that Alam Mahzar-e Khuda, Astar Mahzar-e Khuda, Ma'asiyat Nakonit.
Yeah.
Says that Alam is in the presence of the Lord, and you're always in the presence of your Lord, you know? And try to be careful, to be cautious, not to committing any sin in the presence of your Lord. But the point is, the very important point is that being a mu'min, being a faithful person, requires this attention to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you just always remind yourself of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know?
Yes.
It gives you hope. It gives you a kind of satisfaction, a kind of calmness, we can say, feeling very happy, very prosperous, very helpful. Even sometimes the environment is full of difficulties, full of hardships, full of, let's say, problems. But a mu'min lives very peacefully in that kind of environment, enjoy a very peaceful life. Because, you know, iman and faith and hope is something from within us. It's not something outside. We cannot find prosperity. We cannot find happiness outside.
It's interesting, right? In the traditions, as you speak, I keep on thinking of Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, right? Especially since, you know, we're talking about his birth anniversary. You know, for example, they say that as the day of Ashura moved forward, right, technically, the trials and tribulations became more and more difficult. And I'm trying to make a connection with what you just said, that sometimes a mu'min is surrounded by difficulties, but they are themselves at peace, this kind of nafsul mutma'inna that the Holy Quran talks about. And so they say that as the day of Ashura went forward and the difficulties and trials became more and more severe, the hardships became, you know, harder, that the face and the nur of Imam Hussein alayhi salam would glow even more. You know, so that peace and that tranquility that you were talking about.
Yes, of course. Let me give you this example, that at the last moment of the day of Ashura, if our brothers and sisters refer to the sources, historical sources and narrational sources, they found this hadith of Abu Abdullah addressing his companions, that sabran, sabran, this term sabran, sabran used by Abu Abdullah. He was addressing his companions that be patient, be patient. They should refer that why Abu Abdullah told them that be patient. Be patient because the ashab of Abu Abdullah, والسلام, the close companions of Abu Abdullah, والسلام, they were seeing their status, ranks, positions in Jannah. And they were just hesitating, what we can say. They were in a hurry.
Anxious, yeah, they were in a hurry.
Yeah, in a hurry to get very quickly
that status.
Martyred, and then went to the paradise in the presence of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the presence of the Holy Prophet, والسلام, because they saw themselves. In that level, you know, that's why Abu Abdullah says that sabran, sabran. You have to wait. Look, now for a mu'min, you know, the environment for the companions of Abu Abdullah والسلام, is full of difficulty, you know, from worldly perspective. If you look at enemies thirst, were there, hunger, they enemies. Were attacking, they were, you know, lots of enemies were there. Mm. Numberless soldiers of Yazid were there, they surrounded them, you know. Mm. So it was really horrifying situation. It's really, let's say, terrible and problematic kind of situation. But in that kind of situation, you know, they are in hurry to get martyred. Mm. For the sake of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And endure those hardships and troubles.
Yeah, this is the iman. They were enjoying, you know. Mm.
Those hardships.
They were enjoying those hardships. Mm. It's like this, that if you
in order to attain a greater
goal. If you want to give an example, look, for example, if there is a mountain, on the top of mountain there is a piece of diamond. Mm. And then some people tell you that if you can go to that top of mountain, that diamond is yours. Then the more you try, the more you enjoy, you know. The more hardships you tolerate, the more you enjoy.
Yeah.
The more you get harder and harder, let's say, steps towards that climbing the mountain, you become more, let's say, joyful, or you become more, let's say, pleasant and happy, you know. Yeah. So these hardships, these difficulties that you're facing, they are enjoyable then for you. You more enjoy rather than being, for example, difficult for you or painful for you. That is why we see that the iman, the true iman, let's say that, Haqiqatul iman and faith is this, that makes the people happy. That's why there is a hadith, a very beautiful hadith from the Holy Prophet, says that a mu'min is always happy. He never gets nervous. But a munafiq is always unhappy nervous. And it very quickly get nervous. It is because of this that it seems that iman gives a strengthenness in the heart of the people and give the hope, give beautiful life to them. Because sometimes we see there are people who are very enjoying a very luxurious kind of life, full of facilities, full of wealth, full of sarwa. And suddenly, we hear that that person, for example, committed suicide. It's really shocking. It's really ironic.
Because they
ironic,
had everything,
you know?
As far as
everything
the world is
everything is available
is
for them. It seems that happiness is not something that we can seek outside. It is something inside. You know,
this faith and iman.
Yeah, this faith and iman. When we, for example, read the du'as of Imam Zain al-Abidin, Imam al-Arifin. How was the situation for Imam Zain al-Abidin in Medina?
Very, very difficult.
Everyone knows.
Yeah, very.
But look
difficult.
At these du'as. When Imam talked to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look how much does he enjoy in those communication with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While the environment is so, let's say, difficult,
yeah,
it's horrifying for the, horrible for the followers of the Imam, for the Imam himself.
Yeah.
But in this dua and this prayers that that Imam Zain al-Abidin made in those night prayers, or if you go to the dua of Arafah of Abu Abdullah al-Salam, if you read the Arafah, dua of Arafah, look how beautifully Abu Abdullah talked to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of these phrases that you read, it gives you kind of, what we can say, satisfaction, kind of rida, kind of contentness, we can say. This is because of the iman. This is because of this, that they are in the presence of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you talk to Allah, you enjoy. This communication itself is enjoyable. You know, because Allah is the source of beauty. The more you get closer to the source of beauty, the more you beautify yourself. You know, the more you get pleasures, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the infinite source of all the pleasures. You know, if you want to get the pleasures, go toward that source. The more you get to that source of pleasure.
Yeah, this eternal bliss and eternal prosperity.
You enjoy,
and happiness.
You enjoy. It doesn't mean that you become, let's say, some of the mu'mineen think that, no, it is difficult, it's hard. No, no. The real iman is the real enjoyment.
It's a matter of really understanding. What, you know, and perhaps there's something wrong with us that we are not enjoying, you know, for example, you know, prayers or du'as or fasting, for example. It's, even though I'll leave it here so that we don't leave it open-ended, but, you know, sometimes in the holy month of Ramadan, because in a few weeks it'll be the holy month of Ramadan, unfortunately some of us, you know, have to fast again, and we have a completely wrong perspective. Whereas we should be very excited, and we should be very happy. We should be looking forward to this blessing of Ramadan and this blessing of fasting, and you know, that spiritual bliss that we should be receiving are things that we need to change the way we look at these things.
For the youth, I can give this example that look, for example, sometimes there's a young man or a young lady or a young man. He, for example, falls in love with someone, you know? When that lady or that boy, for example, send him or her a message, when he opened his mobile and read the message, while reading the message, laughing, you know, where does this laugh come from?
Yeah.
Because of the message, you know, because of the message is from the beloved one.
It's from the beloved one.
The beloved one.
Yeah.
Because of this love, this laughing automatically come to the lips of the people.
Yeah,
they enjoy, you know.
This happiness, this
Same
bliss.
Is the case with the true mu'min.
And
true
Allah
believer.
Subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah. Because that
the true beloved.
The true beloved, the true beauty, all the beauties that we have in this world are come from the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the source of the ultimate beauty, you know?
Yeah.
So then the person who remind himself of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the way that he remind himself of the beloved one. Then isn't it enjoyable? It is mentioned in the story of Layli and Majnun. It's a very beautiful story, saying that once a person asked Majnun that where is Layli?
Majnun is the man.
The man, yeah.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
And then Layli is the
Layli
woman.
Is the woman, yeah. Someone asked Majnun that, where is Layli? He said, what? Majnun said, what? Then the person repeated his question, said, where is Layli? Where is Layli? He said, what? Then again he asked, where is Layli? He said, what? Where is Layli? He said, many times, tens of times. Then a wise man was there.
He says, you don't understand.
He told that person that shouldn't ask him anymore. Said, why? Because he said that if you ask him thousands of times, he will repeat what, what, said why he repeat that what. Said because every moment that he hears the name of Layli, he enjoys.
He forgets what's going on.
Yeah, he just.
So he says, excuse me?
When you repeat name of Layli for him, he enjoys. That's why he say what, in order to repeatedly
Ajab,
hear the name
so
of
that,
Layli. That's it. If thousands of times, millions of times you ask, he will never answer you. He just say what? Because he want to hear from you the name of
the name
Layli.
Again.
The name again, you know? Because
strange.
This is the thing that they enjoy.
Yeah.
So it is about the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. In Riwayat, he has it once, one of the Jibra'il, one of the Malaik and the angels, asked Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, why do you give the title of Khalil to Ibrahim? Why is that?
The friend,
Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that go down and test Ibrahim. And so the story is long, we cannot mention all the story. But when the angel came and test Ibrahim and examined Ibrahim, when Ibrahim heard the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the angel, he said, oh angel, please repeat the name. I will sacrifice all the things that I have for you. Just repeat.
He said, what?
Like what? And this is a very beautiful story is all about Ibrahim, as we mentioned. Anyhow, so a true mu'min, a true iman, a true faith, a Husayni iman, a bilfadli iman, a sajjadi iman should give us this kind of enjoyment.
And happiness.
This kind of pleasure, happiness. Just
prosperity.
Reminding yourself of the name of Allah should give you happiness. Only the word of Allah, you know? Let alone all the blessings that you are provided with. Let alone that every moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us numberless blessings, because the breathing, you know, when we breathe,
it's
we are not
blessing.
Sure. We are not sure that we can continue this breathing or not, you know, because nothing is in our control.
Yeah.
Our brothers and sisters who focus on it. You know, when we breathe, we need oxygen. Oxygen is out of our control. The system that we breathe by inside our body, it's out of our control. Nothing is in our control.
Yeah.
Every moment that we breathe, it is not under our control.
So it's
neither heart, nor lung, nor all the system, nor outside the oxygen.
Yeah.
But we are alive.
And it's all blessings from Allah.
It's every moment. Because in Farsi, we have a beautiful poem that says that, Arifan har nafas du'id kunand. Says Ahl al-Ma'rifah. Those people, the knowledgeable people, the wise people, they have two Eids every moment. One Eid is for this. The other Eid is.
Subhanallah.
Every one of these are Eid.
Breathe in and breathe out.
Yeah, that's it. So if we remember Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly, correctly, in a way that Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam taught us, in the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, then the whole life will be just enjoyment and pleasures, you know?
Inshallah.
Because for this Majnun, they said, again, let me mention this story of Majnun. Majnun was once writing the name of Layli on sands. You know, there are some sands, it's moving, sands. What is that called in English? I'm not sure. In Farsi, say Shinner Avon, it's moving sands.
Yeah, this is like sand dunes in the desert.
Yeah, in the deserts, always they're moving.
Yeah.
And when he wrote the name of Layli on the sands, then it was deleted.
Yeah, the removed. Sand moved
the sand moved, And then again he wrote. Then a person called him that, why are you wasting your life, wasting your time,
man? He said, what?
Writing Layli, many times. He said, گفت مشق نام لیلی می کنم خاطر خود را تسلی می کنم. He said that every moment that I write Layli, for every piece of moment of writing Layli I enjoy, let the sand remove thousands of times it. I will try it again. Because these hardships or difficulty that I suffer, that I tolerate while writing, it's difficult to write,
The love of
this is enjoyable. This is the way I enjoy.
Yeah. It's for the sake of the love.
Because of this, for a true mu'min, even the difficulties, the hardships of this world is enjoyment.
Because it's pleasure. Is for the sake of Allah.
It's for the sake of Allah. That's it. That's why this Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam addressed his companions that sabran.
Sabran.
You should be waiting. Waiting that inshallah you will be martyred. So this is the true iman. This is the lesson that we can take from Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Guidance or iman or being mu'min, not that difficult.
Yeah.
Just remind yourself of the presence of your Lord. That's it.
Inshallah.
If you always be in the presence of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you know that everything is for fine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Everything is
from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then nothing is to be worried about.
Jazakallah.
That's it.
This is a beautiful point for us to end. Sheikh Rouhani, thank you so much for taking time out, and our congratulations on the birth anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam with Abu Fadl al Abbas alayhi salam and Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, inshallah, until another talk show we will have you soon, inshallah. And dear viewers, thank you so much for joining us on the talk show, and congratulations to all of you wherever you are upon the birth anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Hazrat Abul Fadl al Abbas alayhi salam and Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. May you have a very good day on this day where we celebrate the birth anniversaries of these holy personalities in this holy month of Sha'ban, inshallah. That's all from us until now. Fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wherever you are.